The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the Internet, my friend. How can I help you?
Hey, this is Mike Nelson from Mystery Science Theater and RiffTracks.com, and you're listening to the greatest show on the planet, Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemme.
I'm Andy Taylor. We have the show that talks about technology.
Wait, that was my line. Computers.
And the old Internet thing.
Yeah. Dude, speaking of the internet, did you hear what happened last week with the Facebook? And also, I guess it affected a lot of different sites, the massive DDoS attack.
Well, is that what was happening? Because I know Facebook went down, and it was funny because Facebook goes down. What does everybody do?
They start going to Twitter.
Yeah, they go to Twitter.
They go to Twitter and they're like, is Facebook down? It's like, yeah. People were widely speculating and commenting on Twitter and even Instagram, posting videos on Instagram of people trying to go to the Facebook page and it's saying, oops, something went wrong. And they were saying it looks like a DDoS attack. Now, DDoS, for those of you who don't know, it stands for a distributed denial of service.
Right.
So what that does is a denial of service attack is basically... how can I put this into layman's terms? Okay, let's say it's like let's say it's you, Andy.
Right.
You, Andy, are talking to Slick.
Okay.
Okay. You're trying to say something to Slick.
Right.
You're having a conversation with Slick. Go ahead and have a pretend conversation. Now, I will pretend to be the DOS. Okay. So go ahead and pretend to have a conversation with Slick.
Well, so Slick, let me.
Yeah, ask. Yeah, well, you know, Andy, but you know, somebody else goes. Well, you know, I mean, somebody else. It's basically a bunch of dead traffic that gets put in, and it basically prevents the communication between party A and party B. So that's what a denial of service is. It's basically interrupting that service so you can't do it. Now, a distributed denial of service is it's big. Basically, it's like you trying to talk to Slick, and there's 100 of me coming in and trying to interrupt you all at the same time.
Right.
So those are big things, and they can take down major websites. Amazon has been a victim of DDoS. Facebook, Twitter has been. Google has been. I mean, everywhere has been. It's not fun and games. I mean, these things can really harm people if they're taking down the wrong site, like a healthcare network or something where people's lives depend on it. But yeah.
Now let me ask you on a DDoS attack, could in essence your computer be used in an attack and you don't even know it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about everybody's heard the term malware. So that's what a DDoS is used, or a lot of times they'll use that is they'll infect computers with malware or even viruses that will allow a remote hacker to take control of your computer without you even knowing about it. And a lot of times what these will do is they won't even really do anything to your computer. They'll just use it to send out a bunch of pings. And a ping is just a simple, like you think about it, just like a sonar ping, you know, ping, and you're pinging the website. But the thing is, you get 10,000 computers pinging the same website all at the same time.
It's going to slow it down.
It's going to slow it down or take it down. So that's what a DDoS is. So a lot of times what people will notice is their computer just gets really slow all of a sudden. And they're like, why is my computer so slow? And they've got some malware running that's basically sending out all these pings constantly to these websites as controlled by a remote hacker.
Some people will say, and some people listening that maybe aren't on Facebook will probably say, well, who cares? Well, you know, what's the big deal? It actually can be a big deal because when a social networking site like Facebook can be taken down, imagine a bank, like you said, a healthcare, 911 services,
yep.
The electric grid, you know, all of these can be testing for that.
There's a new audiobook, and it's actually not new. I don't remember how many years it's been out, but it's a New York Times bestseller. And I just started reading the audio or listening to the audiobook.
What's it called?
Well, it's called 1 Second After.
All right.
And it's by an author named William Fortune. I think it's Fortune.
Right.
Anyway, but it's basically a story about a man who's struggling to save his family and his small North Carolina town after America loses a war in 1 second, a war that will send America back to the dark ages, a war based upon a weapon, an electromagnetic pulse,
ooh,
a weapon that may already be in the hands of our enemies. So basically what this is talking about is an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse, goes off and it destroys the electric grid. It destroys the internet. It basically, like it says, puts America back into the dark ages. And there's actually three different books that came out. It's 1 second after, 1 year after, and then The Final Day is the third book.
Right.
It's really, really good. And honestly, I could see this really honestly happening. It's a really good book. And if you're interested in hearing, you know, this is something that truly could happen. I hesitate to call it fiction because, I mean, it is in the actual definition of fiction, but it really could happen. And it may happen someday.
What would happen if our entire internet grid was taken down completely? You know,
the internet itself was taken down.
Yeah, the internet completely wiped out. And you could think of all the different scenarios.
It'd be worldwide chaos.
Well, yeah, because we rely so much now
Just us. The whole world relies on it. Yeah. I mean, there's so many websites that are based out of America that the whole world uses.
There's a lot of people listening, and I'm one of those that grew up in a period before the internet. You know, yeah. I grew up in the 70s, you know. But what do we get? Like channels 2 through 13.
You're talking about the 1870s, right?
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
No problem. Anytime, buddy.
But, you know, we were raised in a different time where we didn't rely so much on this. Yeah. And then the technology, the revolution came so quick that we had the microwave. Then we had this television that got cable and you had perfect reception, no rabbit ears. You mm-hmm. had hi-fi stereo FM radios. You had cassettes. You had CD. I mean,
you have lived through a lot of technology changes in your lifetime.
Yeah.
I mean, I can say that I grew up in the time I shouldn't say before cable television, but I mean, it was just in its infancy.
Right.
You know, and no internet, no cell phones, no pagers when I was a little kid, you know, but then it's just, yeah, I mean, it just compounded and got so much. And now it's like, I walk around and I'm not one of those people that walk around and look at my cell phone at all times. Like I still am aware of my surroundings, but yet I constantly see so many people, especially younger kids, they are completely oblivious to their surroundings. They are so entrenched in their damn phones that they have no idea what's happening around them.
I saw a picture that somebody had posted on Instagram today and said, this must be an alternate reality. And it was five or six people standing in a subway. They were all reading books. Nobody was on an electronic device.
No,
and
it's not fake news. Fake news. Hashtag fake news. That didn't happen.
But it's not to say that these electronic devices that we have, our smartphones, our tablets, are not good. It's not to say it's a great convenience to have.
It's a convenience, but it's become an addiction.
Yeah.
It's become a lifestyle. And that's the problem. These are supposed to supplement our lives, not take over our lives.
And a lot of us have let that happen. I mean, now they have anxieties. People that have anxieties, if they're not checking their phone every 3 minutes to see if they got a tweet or see if they got an email.
Or you get those things where your muscles vibrate in your leg, you know, like when the muscle relaxes in your leg and you think like you feel like it's a text message going off, but yet you realize you don't have your phone in your pocket. And then for a minute, you kind of freak out. You're like, where's my phone? Where's my phone?
It's like a phantom ring. Yeah.
It's a phantom ring. But the thing is, it was proven by a scientific study that the phantom rings are real, but it's not your brain tricking you. It's actually a muscle in your leg is relaxing, but the muscle twitches a little bit. So it makes it feel like your phone is going off in your pocket.
And you make sense. You talk about it and you say the phantom ring. People feel that way when it comes to instant messages, tweets. Sometimes it's just a matter of pushing the device away, being able to just chill and relax. But again, like you said, we've become really needy when it comes to the electronics. But let's look at it. Black Friday has come and gone. Cyber Monday's just around the corner.
Did you get anything?
No.
Nah.
No.
Neither did I. I looked at Amazon for a little bit. I made a little wish list on Amazon. But you know what? Black Friday, it's all it is good for anymore is people taking cell phone videos of fights. it's what it is.
That's really sad, isn't it? Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you.
You know what? That's the name of the show. Black Friday is for cell phone fights.
Exactly. I like that. There is a lot of things I wanted to get. And I saw a study that I thought was pretty interesting. And I'm going to ask you. Now, hopefully Misa's not listening.
No.
Have you ever bought something for Black Friday for yourself and kept it from your other half. They say the average person over the years has spent about $353 on average on Black Friday merchandise that they did not tell the other half about. Because we like to think it's about gift giving and finding a great deal on something you want to give. But honestly, I think a lot of people look at it now as a great way to save money on something they want for themselves.
Well, I wouldn't say necessarily for myself, but I have bought things for the house.
Right.
I've never really bought something for myself. I mean, maybe I have. I don't really remember.
Right.
But I have bought something for myself. And then as a matter of fact, I did buy something on Black Friday last week. I bought a professional knife sharpening kit.
Oh, nice.
And I initially put it in my Christmas wish list. And then I said, wait a second. This isn't for me. This is for the house. I'm like,
there you
no,
go.
I'm See? Buying it for the house. And so I just bought it. And I took it off my wish list because I'm like, wow, this is going to be a great Christmas gift for me. Like, oh, yay, a knife sharpening kit. I get to sharpen knives for the next 6 hours. Yay.
So basically that 70-inch 4K HDR, you know, ultra.
See, now,
for the family or the house?
I would be murdered if I bought something like that for the house. Misa would be like, absolutely not, return it now.
You can't really hide that either, can you?
No, you can't. No, yeah. I think you could get away with it if it's less than $100 for the most part. But it depends on who does the finances in the house, too. See, now my wife does all the finances.
Uh-huh.
So she sees everything that comes on, and she has access to my Amazon account because she also orders stuff. And she goes through the order history, and she's like, what is this? I'm like,
that's for Andy.
Yeah. Like, why did you buy, I don't even know. I can't even think of an example. Just insert example here. Why did you buy this? And I'm like, well, I figured I needed it.
Yeah.
And she's like, why? You never do that. I'm like, well, I mean, I might start some point.
Right.
You know? So then it's just like, you know, it's like, okay, well, you don't need to buy that anymore. I'm like, okay, well, at least I got away with it.
Yeah, I never really hide anything. I just go ahead and just set it up. So that way when she comes home and says, what's this? I go, I don't know. That's the extent. Any question? I don't know.
I was here when I got home.
How did it get here? I don't know.
I figured you ordered it.
But Cyber Monday coming up. And, you know, there are still a lot of people that are going to be finding deals this weekend. Of course, small business, it's shopping local. Hopefully that's kind of what happened today, whether it be somebody that sells TVs that's local or computers that you know, supporting the local business is super important. But when it comes to televisions, it can be a little confusing. And while you may be looking at some of the deals that are available this week, because some retailers aren't doing just Black Friday, they're making it, you know, all the way till December 1st.
Yeah.
If you are thinking about buying a television, we need to warn you, you're going to see all kinds of prices that are just, whoa. You know, I mean, we saw this last year with, 1080p televisions that were going now for $150, where before it would cost you $600-$700 to buy that. Now you see that price range for 4K TVs. However, you have to do your research because even from a name brand manufacturer that is putting out a television that is 4K, you know, ultra HDR, there are certain features that may not be, number one, what you expect. Number two, what you need. For example.
It's not a bug. It's a feature.
There you go. For example, I did buy a 4K television, what, about a year ago now? I think I've had it. Maybe a year and a half.
Why are you looking at me like that? I don't know.
I don't know. So, but when I bought the TV, I thought, man, this is a great deal. 4K, ultra, you know, HDR, Wi-Fi enabled. What a great deal. I got it. I didn't do that much research on it. I got it hooked up and everything. And when I tried to connect it to my router, I found that it was not, you know, you got 2.4 gigahertz, which is generally your normal Wi-Fi type of connection. And then you get 5. Now, if you're going to be moving, you know, HD 4K content over a wireless network, you want to be using 5. However, it doesn't have the 5 capability on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was kind of like, okay, wait a minute. Why didn't they do that? Oh, I could spend a couple $100 more and get the television with that. So again, you need to do your research. CNET put out a really great article. I've been telling everybody about this. If you're thinking about buying a television, this week. The article is basically called Cheap Black Friday 2018 TVs Might Not Be a Good Deal. All right.
Yeah.
You know, they're selling a 70-inch television, they mention in the article, for $700. Is that a good deal? You need to read the article and find out why it might not be or why it could be. And again, all of that is available there. It's too much for us to go into, but you know, you got to look at how many HDMI ports, what type of Wi-Fi network, the HDR, what type of HDR is it? Because that's what fooled a lot of people. Just like, remember when people were buying 1080, they thought they were buying 1080p and they were buying 1080i televisions. You know, that kind of stuff plays into it.
You know, it just goes back to the old saying, you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking that you're going to score a huge deal and you're seeing that typically 80-inch TVs go for $2,000, $2,500 and you can score a Black Friday deal for $1,100, it's probably too good to be true.
Yeah. The other thing to consider is streaming televisions. That's the norm now, right?
Yeah. Well, smart TVs. Yeah.
Yeah, smart TVs. You know, make sure the TV supports Amazon. Not all of them do. If you want to have Amazon, you want to have Netflix, you want to have Hulu, make sure they support it. Because if they don't,
have Chromecast built in.
Yes. If you don't, you may have to go out and buy yourself a Fire TV stick. Because I'm crazy now. I recommend Amazon to everybody if you're going to get anything. I mean, yeah. I like Netflix. I like Hulu. But I find myself spending a lot of time watching the stuff on Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see, you know, here too. I mean, you got to do your research. You can't just go blindly and say, oh, there's going to be a $1,100 70-inch TV. I got to have it. I mean, there's a reason they do this. You think companies are hooking you up with a deal? No, they're probably just trying to get rid of stock that they don't want anymore that nobody else would buy. Look at the sales records of those TVs from the past. You know, if you can find it, you have to do a little Google research, you know, do a little Google foo. But you're going to find that a lot of these models that are super sale that these companies are pushing hard saying, oh my gosh, it's a huge deal. This is just stock of TVs that people have said, yeah, this is a crap TV. I don't want to buy this.
Big question. Your Google Pixel 3 XL.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been having issues with it? Because there have been some bug reports that have come out that people have been having some problems with the camera on the device, the whole bit. And I know that might be just a handful. I know you used it. What do you think?
I have not seen a single bug. What kind of bugs are they talking about?
No, they're talking about, you know, trying to take photos with the camera and the screen going blank, and a reboot would fix it. But that's not the kind of things you want happening with your smartphone. The other one was a notch, an extra notch showing up. I thought that was pretty hilarious, actually, because a lot of people complain about the notch. And there was a picture of some guy's phone, and it had an extra notch in it on the side of the screen. I thought that was great. Yeah, I thought that was great. But again, this might just be random. Who knows? So again, I just wanted to see how you were liking it.
So breaking news.
Yeah.
Right as we're doing the show, speaking of ghosting or even catfishing, I guess, if you will, I just got a random text message from a number that I don't know.
Right.
That just said, you're pretty.
Ugh.
Should I play with them?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Should I go back and forth, try to see how long I can drag this out?
Go for it.
Because at the end, I can just block the number anyway, right?
Oh, but you know, that's the whole thing. You get that question. Do you mess with, like, when you get the phone call, you know, oh, we've got a great deal on your warranty and the whole
It's coming from
bit.
Wisconsin. Yeah. I'm not even in Wisconsin. I don't know why, but it's coming up from Wisconsin. Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's
the Green Bay area.
That's pretty. Oh, that's weird. It's a phone text message, too.
Yeah, it's a text message to my phone from area code 920, and that's a Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Wow, that's
weird.
They're
just saying, you're pretty. So somebody must have just given a fake number to somebody at a bar. And I am totally going to play for this. I got to find some really disgusting photos. I'm going to be like, look, this is me yesterday or something like that, you know? Just to totally catfish them, you know, just to mess with them for a while.
So we have some guests today on the show.
Sure.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to be talking about Symantec and Cyber Monday and protecting your information when you're shopping with your credit card. A lot of people get afraid of that or afraid of that. She'll give us some tips on how to keep safe with your PC, your Mac, your mobile devices also can be kept an eye on. But also some great, you know, great ways to keep yourself safe. Like when you're shopping online, obviously, you know this, I know this, you do not shop online with a debit card. You shop with a credit card.
Yeah, you do not want to connect your bank online.
Yeah, and you're only limited, your liability limit is less when it comes to a credit card. If a credit card has been hijacked, you had one hijacked. I know I've had one hijacked
I've
as well.
Plenty of them hijacked.
Yep. And you know, you're again, usually the bank, depending on the bank, will replace it pretty quickly. But so we'll find out all about that and more as we take a quick break. We'll come back with Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. You can find us online at techtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor, and of course, Justin will be with us in just a little bit, but. You know, with Cyber Monday just around the corner, coming up on Monday, a lot of people are going to take that, plunge and decide to go online and do some shopping. And I have always said years past, before you do any kind of purchases with your computer or your mobile devices, you need to make sure that they're protected. Because believe it or not, there's always a chance that that information is being captured. And while you're making a legitimate purchase, you might end up being really surprised at what could happen. So we've invited Paige Hansen, cybersecurity expert with Symantec, to come on the show and talk about the many things that could happen and how Symantec can be a company that could certainly help you out from this happening. Paige, great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you too, Andy. Thanks for having me.
You know, Symantec has been around a long time, and they have a history of really helping many people when it comes to securing their first computers against viruses, but now it goes way beyond that.
It does. As a global cybersecurity company, we not only see a number of threats because of our antivirus protection programs that we have, but now that we offer more products around password manager, a VPN when you're getting on Wi-Fi, I mean, in all, it's kind of like a digital safety package. And especially since we acquired recently LifeLock about a year ago, which is identity theft protection. So all in all, we're really trying to encompass your daily digital life. And that really bleeds into your identity theft and identity protection as well.
Now, for those that maybe, and we've had LifeLock on the show, but it's been a few years, but before the Symantec purchase of the company, for those who don't know, what does LifeLock do?
So LifeLock is an identity theft protection service that you enroll in. It's an individual service that alerts you. One part of it, I should say, is to detect identity threats that are happening, people opening up new lines of credit. Maybe you're not aware of them until you start getting collection notices. The good thing about having a LifeLock service is that we're able to put alerts in place, alerting you before it really becomes and gets to the collection notice phase. And then if you do have an identity theft incident, we're able to remediate that and have a side-by-side case manager to help really get you back and restore your identity before it even happened.
For some that maybe don't know, I mean, for them to try and do this themselves, it is not only time-consuming, but can cost a lot of money just to make sure your data is safe, your identity is safe.
It's true. You know, depending on what report you read, you can read, you know, something from 10 to 40 to 100 hours it might take someone. And if you think about that, the majority of the time is going to be during the business day, because the organizations you're trying to work with, the lenders, are only open from 8 to 5. They might be East Coast hours. So it really limits the amount of time that you're able to really go and do this yourself. So having a service like LifeLock who can help you on the back end, be your friend through this whole process, certainly does help. And it just gives you kind of a peace of mind as a consumer.
Well, you know, about a year ago, I had suddenly received, I went online just to look at my credit card statement, and I had purchases that I made at Victoria's Secret in New York. Now, mind you, I'm in Arizona.
Andy, right? Woo, woo.
That was a tough one to explain to the wife. But the same thing happened to Justin about 4 months after that. And we're pretty good with, you know, managing our data online, et cetera. This can happen in a variety of ways. So even away from the PC, the Mac, or the mobile device, LifeLock can actually help protect those users with credit cards and that information using their social security number, correct?
Right. When fraudsters are opening up new lines of credit, that's really when a service like LifeLock comes into play and it's extremely helpful. We also have the threshold notification. So if there is a threshold that has been met that you've set, let's say you want to be alerted every time it's a something like a $100 charge, you can certainly set that up with our company as well.
Very cool. Now, let's talk about the fact that some people maybe have not been used to using a credit card online, or they have a bank debit card and they decide, I want to go buy something online. What are some things they should really consider before they go ahead and go online and start buying things?
Now, before we even start, you know, we're going to be bombarded with emails, advertisements about certain sales. And we just have to make sure we take a step back. And if it sounds too good to be true, if it looks too good to be true, we might just put that in the bucket of it is too good to be true. Because, yeah. I mean, TVs aren't going to be 90% off. Ray-Bans, by the way, are not going to be $10. You know, we've all seen the ads. We just need to make sure that we're not clicking on the hyperlinks that take us directly for our convenience to the web page. Because fraudsters, what they're doing is they're sending out phishing emails, fake emails. They're even getting fake landing pages that look like you're going to the store that has the merchandise that you're looking to purchase. And then all of a sudden, you wonder why your credit card has been compromised or your personal information has been compromised. And it's because you actually weren't even on the retailer's site to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. And that some of those emails, they look authentic. They really look good. They've got the logo and everything, but you really can't trust that, can you?
You can't. You almost have to inspect the hyperlinks thoroughly. And if you're not trusting your eye, because, you know, we're doing a lot of our transactions on a mobile device, that screen is a lot smaller than if we were on maybe a monitor at home or even our laptop. And so what we have to do is make sure that maybe if we want to buy something from a retailer, we just go directly, open a browser, type in the browser that we know, and then search for the deal that maybe was in that email. Then hopefully cutting out that middleman or middle purpose of potential, I guess, of being compromised.
Now, I've always told people, let's face it, with our computers, you know, ports can be open. Maybe a kid has been on the computer or an adult that has clicked on something and allowed some malware to get on the computer. Now, when they go to start shopping, a keylogger, for those that don't know what that is, it actually is capturing those keys that you're sending. That can actually be a problem. So honestly, you have to be almost proactive rather than reactive to this by making sure your computer is safe. And that's where really Symantec has come in with their products like antivirus. And they have different versions of those products to make sure your computer is clean before you do any online shopping.
Certainly. And you make a good point. You know, if you are the only user of that computer, you can be more confident in, you know, if there's going to be some malware, spyware, depending on your habits or your history. But when it's a shared computer, or you allow your kids at least on it every once in a while, and maybe you haven't had a conversation with them yet about downloading certain things, clicking on links, there could be a potential that your device is compromised. And you're right. Products from Symantec certainly help that find bugs and get those out of there before you go online and potentially give up personal information.
Now, I remember talking to somebody once who said, oh, well, I don't buy anything with my computer. I just use my smartphone or I use my tablet. Can't they be just as well compromised when making a purchase?
They can, you know, depending on how you're connecting with your mobile device, and also depending on who your device is by, you know, is it an iPhone, is it an Android? You know, there's that whole debate, which I don't know. I'm sure you've gotten into before on show. It sounds like
I'm an Apple guy. Justin's an Android guy. So that happens.
Oh, I need to go back and listen to those shows because I'm sure that would be very educational to enlighten for some. But we have to make sure, and same goes for the same idea around people who say, oh, I have a Mac. I'm not going to get a virus. I have a you know, versus a PC, all of it, you are connecting to the internet. There is a chance to lose personal information, download malware, spyware, leak your personal credentials, depending on an app, depending on who the developer is. And so we just need to be aware and not put all our eggs in one bucket just because, oh, it's okay. You know, we're on a mobile device. So yes, you certainly can still be vulnerable.
Now, when it comes to the type of payment, when it comes to, making a purchase, PayPal, you have PayPal, you have credit cards, you have debit cards. We've heard some warnings about people shopping with debit cards that it really is not the best method for buying anything. Is that still the case?
It is still the case, Andy. And what we really want to make sure the message we want to talk about is you want to spend the credit card company's money, not your own. Imagine if you had fraudulent activity on your debit card. I mean, especially going into the holiday season, you probably have more gifts and travel that you have to budget for, but you still have your car payment, your rent, and the list goes on and on, the things that you still have to pay for. Right. It can take anywhere from 7 to 10 business days for you to get those funds back into your bank account. So if a fraudster has completely drained that bank account, you could have overdraft fees and you could be in quite the predicament if you're not using the alternative method, which is a credit card.
Exactly. And that's better protected. What are some things people should be concerned with as they go to a website? A lot of people are seeing now, thanks to Google, they're seeing maybe a site is not secured. Is that something they should be worried about just by visiting the site, or only if they're going to be making purchases?
You know, it really depends. I mean, I think the good rule of thumb is if we're typing in our personal information, email, username, I mean, anything that's personal identifying to you, credit card information, making sure that it is a secure website. Now you can see that it says HTTPS. Mm-hmm. That's where you're gonna see that. And yes, thanks to Google, we have a lot more secure websites that are out there, but there are still a number of websites that aren't. I think the internet, or depending on what browser you're using, is doing a better job of alerting you, so you don't have to just look right away, is there an S there, is it not? Is there a lock symbol? They're doing a better job of it's popping up. I know that says, oh, this is not a private website, be aware. But we have to know that those vulnerabilities are still out there.
Now, for those that decide to, because it's a beautiful day on Monday, they might get out and go enjoy themselves with a nice cup of coffee at a coffee shop, and they log on to the Wi-Fi of the coffee shop, that they're going to make a purchase with their laptop. Is that also a risky move to go ahead and connect to public Wi-Fi when doing online transactions?
Yes, we have to treat public Wi-Fi and use it with caution. Treat it like somebody's looking over your shoulder. Imagine, even if you're not making a purchase, they know your browsing history as well. So if you're searching maybe a recent medical diagnosis and you're searching and Googling about it, looking for even shops that you want to go to, I mean, the list can go on and on of things that you can possibly search for, but all of that can be bought and sold and connected to you. So if you're not ready to disclose that, if you're not ready for it to be sold by bought and sold by a third party, that's when we highly recommend, if you're in that situation, you're in a coffee shop, instead now just be on your phone or use your mobile hotspot. That personal hotspot is there as an extra layer of protection. Then you're at least not on that free public Wi-Fi that can leave you more vulnerable.
Now, for those homes, because I mean, obviously, we see more and more laptops and desktops. And I got to say, I am a big fan of Xfinity Comcast, because I actually have the Symantec protection provided as part of our service, which is very nice. But for those homes that have multiple PCs, is there versions of the antivirus product and the identity protection type products that they can have on more than just one computer?
Yes, all of our services, it can come in, do you want one device protection, 5 device, 10 device protection? And so for those homes that you have multiple laptops and multiple connected devices, that would be a perfect plan for you, is to have multiple devices connected. And then our platform, and I'm sure you've experienced this, is really easy to navigate. You're able to see what's connected and who's spending what time on what. There's a kind of a family tab on there if you choose to use it. And it certainly makes things a lot easier to manage from a cybersecurity standpoint.
I totally recommend it, because I using the Symantec antivirus product, I have gone to a website before through a link, and I know what I'm doing, and I click and it says, you don't want to go here. I mean, really, it's warned me in advance that this site has been hacked. So again, it's that kind of protection, that peace of mind you have when you have the product installed. Now, what about our mobile devices? Does Norton make a product that, or Symantec make a product that we can use on our mobiles?
We do. Yes. That same antivirus protection can be placed on your mobile, both Android and iPhone. And so, that's another, we talked about that earlier. It's like it's another place where, it actually analyzes even your apps. And are you giving access to your apps that might be leaking out your contact information, location data, all of that? And that's super helpful, because you may have downloaded an app a couple years ago, and the updated privacy policy, because we give them a blanket okay, to every time you update it. You might not, I mean, let's get real. We're not all reading the updates of what's happening. Most of us, I should say. And so you're kind of giving them a blanket. Yep, that's fine. Install whatever you need to. So if terms and conditions have changed, if privacy policies have shifted and you're not comfortable with that, that's where a product like Symantec can help you, because your apps and that information will also be detected and give you a report as well.
Is there a product that combines LifeLock protection, like a subscription to that, or is that something they need to contact LifeLock directly about?
Well, now we've actually have bundled products. So if you go on the Norton side and you are a new customer, that it now has the power of LifeLock. Or maybe you're interested in going to LifeLock.com, getting LifeLock. Well, now it also is powered by Norton as well. So there are added protections in there that give you access to the Norton and LifeLock products, depending on which site you want to go to.
Again, it's great peace of mind. Paige Hansen, thank you so much. Is there anything you want to say to our listeners that are going to be going on and doing some Cyber Monday shopping this coming Monday?
You know, Monday is Cyber Monday, where we're, you know, we're buying gifts for us and ourselves. But let's not forget about Tuesday, which is Giving Tuesday. And it's a celebrated where we're going, and we're extending hopefully some generosity to nonprofits. And this is, we want to apply the same principles that we're talking about for Cyber Monday also to Giving Tuesday, because there are going to be many phishing emails, ads, targeted ads that are fake nonprofits that are getting you to donate. I know at least here in Arizona, we have that dollar for dollar match on certain for state tax deductions. Right. And that can also, you know, there might be some possible leakage of phishing emails targeting to that we're going to be getting that tax deduction. So, I mean, we also need to be careful during Giving Tuesday as well.
Good deal. And I don't want to forget about that. I'm glad you mentioned that. So, again, some great information. Now, I want to tell our listeners to take a look at Symantec.com, Norton.com, LifeLock, of course. Is there any other sites you'd recommend?
Actually, those are the three. Those are, you know, our parent company is Symantec, and underneath those companies are Norton and LifeLock. So depending on what's your fancy, I highly recommend. I know there's a ton of resources, and some of the things that we've even talked about, educational information on all three sites. So if you're interested in just interested in learning more, there's certainly information on both LifeLock, Norton, and Symantec.com.
Great stuff. Paige Hansen, we hope we get a chance to talk to you again real soon. Of course, you deal with the heat like we do in Arizona, because you're in Arizona. I like that.
I am. Although, hey, right now, it's beautiful. This is why we live here, I think.
Isn't it? Exactly. The sunrises, the sunsets, and the day. It's been great. Well, listen, thank you so much for talking to us, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Great. Thank you so much, Andy.
Some great information there from Paige Hansen. Coming up next, we're going to talk with experts from Verizon, talking about their enterprise report that came out, giving you a look at what's going to be happening during this holiday season. All of that here on Tech Talk Radio. Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor. And of course, with the holiday shopping season full upon us, it's always great to get the stats, the info, kind of what the reports are saying as to what are going to be the spending habits of consumers. And Michelle Dupre, who's Group Vice President of Retail, Hospitality, and Distribution for Verizon Enterprise Solutions, is with us on the line. Michelle, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
This week, the Verizon Enterprise Solutions Holiday Shopping Index Report for 2018 has been unveiled. Can you explain to our listeners what this report shows and what it's all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're in our fifth year, and the Holiday Retail Index by Verizon Enterprise Solutions, what we do is that we track digital commerce traffic across our company's broadband network to the top 25 U.S.-based retail online retailers. So we're looking at the top 25. We're looking at it at a macro level, just the sheer volume of traffic that we see in the digital space.
So does the Holiday Retail Index report kind of show you, as more people are getting familiar and comfortable with shopping online, some of the trends for this year versus last year?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do look at a year-over-year trend in this. The weekend leading up to Thanksgiving was the first weekend that we did the analysis and showed almost a 4.2% increase on Saturday. And then we saw a almost 15% increase on Sunday. So we'll continue to look at these trends from a year-over-year perspective, again, with big days like Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and then leading all the way up to Super Saturday, which is the Saturday before Christmas. We'll be looking at those trends and being able to share through the report, just what we see.
Well, Michelle, are you finding in this report that consumers are going to the retailers that are only dealing in, online type of sales and have no brick and mortar type store? Are you finding they're going to some of the stores like Kohl's and Best Buy's and Walmart's and other locations like that and purchasing online there?
It's all of the it's all of the above. As you said, it's going to be your pure online retailers, and then it's going to be your traditional retailer that has both a brick and mortar presence and an online presence. So it's the top 25, and it would include everything that you just described.
Now, what does this mean for consumer confidence and how maybe we're going to be looking at the economy at the end of the year? We work our way into January and we kind of sit back and look and go, well, how did we do?
Yeah, so I think consumer confidence clearly, it definitely feeds into, just what the holiday season will bring for retailers. And I think, again, early information indicates that there is strong consumer confidence. Retailers, again, started engaging their consumers and their potential customers as early as November 1st with Black Friday sneak peeks and just really the constant beat of the drum throughout the entire month of November and leading up to Thanksgiving. I think will show that the confidence in the consumer and they'll be engaging with their favorite retail brands for the month of November and throughout December.
Well, it almost seems this year that we started to see some of the ad campaigns, some of the drive to drive people to some of the online versions of these retailers. Like the whole holiday shopping thing started a little early this year, a lot earlier than we've seen in the past.
Yeah, so I think it always seems to start earlier every year, and I think the key to a retailer strategy is that early engagement. But I think what we've learned, since reporting on this for 5 years, is that it's not just about one day; that it's about the entire season. So, Black Friday is certainly still an important day, and consumers love it, retailers love it. But again, it's about constantly engaging and continuously engaging those consumers with your brand throughout the entire, holiday season. So it started early, meaning November 1st with the promotions and just the engagement, but really carrying that, that throughout the entire month of December is going to be critical to, just overall them having a great holiday season.
I'm wondering, Michelle, too, one of the things that has held off a lot of people from shopping online is a fear. There's a fear that their data is going to be breached, that there's going to be their credit card used somewhere. They're never going to receive the product. I know Verizon has been working very, very much in the background in preparing reports on the consumer safety factor of this. There was a report, a data breach investigation report that was done. What are some of the findings you found in that when it comes to the consumers and how they're spending their money?
Yeah, I mean, I think the security aspect is always top of mind, for the consumer, but more importantly for the retailer. And again, they recognized, that it can be brand damaging if something does happen. And clearly, we continue to work with retailers and in a lot of different vertical organizations to really ensure that they have a plan in place that if and when something is compromised, that they can quickly recover and really mitigate any risk to their brand, that can come with those type of events. So it's recognized by both the consumer that, they need to trust those brands and they need to build that trust. And then from a retailer perspective, they need to make sure that what data they have, they absolutely know where it is, whether it's, in motion, at rest, and really, continue to have and have that confidence that, they have a plan in place should something happen.
Michelle, can these reports help the consumer and the retailer as well to provide a more safer, secure environment when people are shopping online?
You know, I think the what I would point to is that all of the reports that we do, the data breach investigations report, we do another one about payment security.
Right.
You know, those are available to consumers. So it's not just to the enterprise customer. So those can be accessed. And again, they're a great read for just about anyone. So they can give you just, again, where there are exposures. And again, I think as consumers, there's plenty of other, you know, opportunities for us to always educate ourselves on whether it's in store, online, just making sure that our information is never compromised.
With today's technology, is Verizon Enterprise Solutions able to kind of disseminate this information on a daily basis? Has it become that fast? Or is this something you're going to be sitting back at in the month of January saying, okay, let's see which week was good. What were people doing here? Where were people going online?
Yeah, so we're going to report out on the data pretty consistently throughout the holiday season, starting with November 24th. So we'll have a report then, and then periodically through the month of December. So we do have access to the information, but our perspective on what does that information mean is going to be we're going to report out on it select days throughout the entire month.
So the Holiday Retail Index really does not give a look at where people are spending the money. Like, they're not going to buy electronics. They're not going to buy washing machines. They're not buying jewelry. This is more kind of a, what you would say, traffic driven, and where retail is benefiting from online traffic.
Yeah, we don't have visibility. Again, we report out at a macro level, so we don't have the specifics as to what consumers are putting in their carts and what they're
right.
What they're buying and purchasing. But again, I think there's plenty of sources out there that the National Retail Federation, they continually report on some of the trends that they see in terms of what consumers are purchasing more of, whether it's electronics, whether it's beauty. So there's definitely some other sources that you can find that data, and encourage people to check out what the National Retail Federation has to say.
Now, can retailers get access to the information as far as maybe traffic that is going and what the top 25 are?
So they can certainly have access to our report and what we're publishing in terms of the index by Verizon. And I'm confident that, some of them are accessing the information in the report.
Well, I think, Michelle, one of the most important things for brick and mortar type of operations that offer an online presence, it's one thing to have that. But the other thing is really not just have a website and a shopping cart, but also have a way that really the customers can be engaged so that they will come back. And not only that, but also visit the brick and mortar locations.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's part of, the season starting early, is that they have to find new ways every year, to engage with their customers and create this, community of brand loyalists. And then I think taking it a step further and to the ability of making it personalized. So how do they, perhaps recommend products that, Andy, you might like versus what I would like. So I think it's just making that next step to make it an actionable point based on data that they know about us, but then making it personalized and really making, making us feel like they understand what we like and what we don't like.
Exactly. It seems to me like the stores that really do have that online presence, that have a retail location, work really well when they do get the people to get up and get on into the stores. Or really, is it better for them just to offer their product online and say, here you go, you can buy it here, we take the experience out of it? Don't you really want people to come in and see what else they got, that impulse type buy?
I think most retailers, they want to do both. They've leveraged the ability to really appeal to what is that customer's preference, or what do they want to do? And that can change on a given day. That, in one day you might want to, buy online and have that package delivered to your home, but the next day you might want to buy online and either pick it up in the store, do curbside pickup. So again, I think it's that flexibility and the ability for retailers to really leverage and take advantage of both their digital, their digital space,
right,
as well as the physical space, and really find that combination that appeals to and works well for that customer on that given day.
there are so many options now too. You can go online, you know, you find something. And again, like you said, have it at the store. So you get in the car, you drive to the store. So you still get that shopping experience in the store and then just pick up the product that they decided to buy.
Absolutely. And I think it's about convenience. And again, what's convenient that day. And again, seeing it online and being able to pick it up in the store, you know, you're guaranteed that the product's going to be there and you're going to be able to, you know, take it home with you.
Michelle Dupre, Group Vice President of Retail Hospitality and Distribution with Verizon Enterprise Solutions. So we know you're busy working on this stuff during the holiday season. What happens the rest of the year?
We stay just as busy.
Yeah. I can imagine.
We stay just as busy. We don't report out on, you know, clearly the retail index is something that we do around the holiday time. But again, we have a fantastic group of customers that we work throughout the entire year.
Fantastic. And if our listeners want to get more information, is there a website they can go to?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to VerizonEnterprise.com.
Very good. Michelle, thanks so much for coming on Tech Talk Radio.
Great. Thank you, Andy.
So we talk a lot about shopping online and some of the information that is available to retailers through the Holiday Retail Index report that Verizon Enterprise Solutions has put together. Now, coming up, got a brand new app that I want to tell you about when it comes to finance. I heard about this app and I started to take a look at it. And I thought, you know what? I like how this sounds. So again, we'll share that with you coming up on Tech Talk Radio. Visit us on the web at techtalkradio.com. We're on Twitter, Tech Talk Radio, Instagram, Tech Talk Radio, and Facebook. You can check us out at Tech Talkers on Facebook. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. Good to have you back, Justin.
Mm-hmm. So good to have you back too, Andy.
We've got, you know, normally we like to do here Game of the Week, but real quickly, I do have to ask, are you still playing Red Dead Redemption 2?
I am. I am splitting my time between three different games now.
What are you
playing? Call of Duty Black Ops 4, Red Dead Redemption 2,
right,
and the new Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu.
You're not playing that, are you?
I am.
Really?
It's actually my first Pokemon game. I've never played Pokemon before.
Now, which platform are you playing that on?
The Switch. Nintendo Switch.
How is it on the Switch?
It's actually really good. If you come from a hardcore Pokemon background, this is not the game for you. It's kind of a dumbed down, simpler version of the game. If you are brand new to Pokemon, it's a great way. Yeah.
Really? I'll have to give that a shot. Yeah. What do you think about that? If somebody is a gamer and maybe they're 12, 13 years old, if you're giving a console this year, you've got choices. PS4, Xbox One S, and then you've got the Switch. Do you have a recommendation?
I really do like the Switch because of the portability, the games that are coming out. This, you know, you still got Zelda, Mario, Pokemon. You've got the Super Smash Brothers Ultimate coming out. I think the Switch has got the best lineup for the holiday season. However, if you're looking for straight hardcore power, I'd say the PS4 Pro or the Xbox One X. I mean, they're both good. I think PS4 has a little bit of a slighter edge. It's got some more games that have been released for that than the Xbox does. So I guess all said and said, the Switch.
You know? Well, I got to tell you, I finished chapter one on Red Dead Redemption 2.
Cool.
So now I'm in this open world. You can do anything you want.
Yep.
I keep getting killed. Well, I walked up to these guys. They were at a camp. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, hi. Next thing, the guy just pulls a gun out and shoots me.
Well, that's because you walked into a gang camp.
Well, yeah, it did say they were a gang.
Yeah, see, that's the problem.
You can't just walk up and say hi?
No, because they're trying to hide out. If they didn't want to hide out, they'd be in town.
Oh, okay, all right. So I should probably stay clear of that.
Yeah, or just take your gun out and knock them all off before you even get in, and then say hi to their dead bodies.
Yeah, no, that was a little too much for me. Yeah, I'm trying to be a nice guy in this game.
Yeah, that's
and I keep getting killed.
That's the really hard way to complete the game. I started out being a nice guy, and I ended up being an evil SOB because that's just much easier.
Oh, it's a fun game. Red Dead Redemption 2, just fun. All right, so a website of the week, or app of the week, I should say, is one that I heard about this week, and I thought, wow, I like this. They're a company that raised about $4.2 million for an app that helps you create free legal wills. Sure. Now, I've got nothing against anybody that does this. I mean, I really respect anybody that does estate planning, financial planning. But if you want to be able to control this, you might take a look at this app. It's called Tomorrow. And they have a website, tomorrow.me, but you want to get the app. And again, it'll help you create a free, what could be considered a legal will, and be able to change it on the fly as needed. Again, you can go on to the app and find out more about that. But again, you'll find that in your app store. It's called Tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm going to try and get the CEO of the company on the show really so cool. we can actually talk about that.
I mean, this was featured in, like you said, the NBC, Wall Street Journal, Business Insider,
yeah.
Bloomberg. I mean, this was featured all over the place.
I kind of like the idea. When I heard about the wills part of it, I thought, you know what? That could help a lot of people because a lot of people don't do that. I mean, Aretha Franklin didn't have a will. What the heck?
Yeah.
You know, she should have had a trust, but a lot of people don't do that. Because it just seems like it's cumbersome and it's going to take a lot of time. So
that's really the one we have.
Also, you can check out our website and find out we're available now, not only on SoundCloud, as well as, you know, Google Play, iTunes, Spreaker, our website, also available on a new one called Breaker as well. So we're trying to make it available for you to listen just about any way you want to Tech Talk Radio.
Awesome.
All right. Have yourselves a great week. We'll be back next week with more technology at Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemme. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.